the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar, the Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Good morning. It is so good to see you all this morning. Welcome to Hope on the Beach Church. My name is Jason Schiller. I have the honor and privilege to be a senior pastor at Hope on the Beach, and we're delighted you're here with us. As always, when we gather, this is a no judgment zone. That means it's okay to not be okay. It's okay to worship in a way that you feel comfortable, that works for you. We're not here to judge. We're just here to help you to have your heart awakened by Jesus, because Jesus wants to speak to you. Jesus wants to bring healing and bring strength and reassurance and comfort. And just his grace, his all-sufficient grace, wants to meet you where you're at. In your worship folder, there's a connection card. If you got a white connection card, if you want to take it out, fill it out. We appreciate you filling out the front, be able to recognize your presence here with us. We truly believe you're a gift from God, and we want to be able to honor that, and that's why we do that. We're not sitting here checking the boxes, going to follow up on you, make sure you've been here and all this stuff, but it's our way of just being connecting and staying connected with you. And of course, we'll get to the backside later on. But today, we are beginning a new series this summer. Pretty excited about it. This series is going to be the questions in Mark. And so we're looking in the Gospel of Mark. We're going to stay through the Gospel of Mark the whole summer. So you're welcome to read through the Gospel of Mark to be prepared to kind of walk ahead. We're going to go pretty chronological. We might jump around just a little bit. But really, Mark is answering a bunch of questions. They're not just stories put in there, but there's questions that people have that Mark is answering and God is revealing through his son, Jesus Christ. And so we're going to lean into Jesus this summer even more and use the Gospel of Mark to answer these questions. Today's question is just, who are you? Who are you? And so Steve, our director of ministries, is going to kick that off. But before we start, I have one announcement because I might forget it later on. But today's a special day. You know why? You know why? Anybody guess? Huh? Hurricane season? Well, that's pretty accurate, actually. It's the 1 year anniversary for Roberto being here on staff. So, like hurricane season. There you go. So that's why he's in the back today. Anyway, no, I'm just kidding. We're grateful to have him here. It's been good. So we are very blessed to have him part of the team, part of the family. So with that, why don't we rise and begin our worship today together. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, God, for your amazing grace, and we thank you how you have brought us from all different places, but united us in Christ, that amazing grace, all-sufficient grace, as Paul would say. I mean, it helps us in our brokenness, helps us where we need healing, it gives us encouragement, gives us faith to trust in you, to step out and even to troubled waters, knowing that you can calm the storm, or you can give us power to walk through it. Either way, God, we trust you. And we trust that you're here with us, because your word says. So God, we recognize you here, and we invite you here, not just here, but in here, our hearts, to speak to us today. In Jesus' name, amen.
We worship the God who was, we worship the God who is, we worship the God who evermore will be. As he opened the prison doors, he parted the raging sea. My God, he holds the victory. There's joy in the house of the Lord, there's joy in the house of the Lord today. Won't be quiet, oh, we shout out your praise. There's joy, house of the Lord, our God is surely in this place. We won't be quiet, sing to the God who heals. We sing to the God who saves. We sing to the God who always makes a way. 'Cause he hung up on that cross and he rose up from that grave. My God, still rolling stones away. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. We won't be quiet. Whoa. The Lord, our God is surely in this place. We won't be quiet. Whoa, we shout out your praise. We shout out your praise.
Sing, we were the beggars.
We were the beggars. Now we're royalty. We were the prisoners. Now we're running free. We are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by His grace. Let the house of the Lord sing praise.
Sing that again.
We were the beggars. Now we're royalty. We were the prisoners. Now we're running free. We are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by His grace. Let the house of the Lord sing praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. We won't be quiet. Oh, we shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. We won't be quiet. Oh, we shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. We won't be quiet. Oh, we shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. We won't be quiet. Oh, we shout out. Shout out your praise.
Amen. Let's give him a hand this morning. God, we thank you, Lord, that we thank you, Lord, that you are intimately involved in our lives. God, no matter what our situations look like, Lord, so we just want to lay those burdens that we may have, those fears or doubts at your feet this morning.
All the
You can be seen. Remember that one? Who sang it? Yeah, who sang it? That's what I'm asking. Who? Yeah, the who. And it became a theme song, didn't it? Of a pretty popular TV show. And it's a question we're asking three different ways today, really of three different audiences. And so it's the first question in our series, Questions from Mark. I'm Steve. I'm the director of ministries here at Hope on the Beach Church. And I'm excited to get to open the series as we begin to preach our way through the book of Mark. And so we're going to begin in Mark chapter 1, verse 4. And so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be in your house. We thank you to be able to come before you and have you join us in worship in this place. Speak to our hearts, draw us near to you, and may we go from here ready to be obedient and vibrant followers of you in Jesus' name. Amen.
So the Bible tells us that John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness as if a spaceship just dropped him out there. All of a sudden, he's just there in the wilderness. We know John the Baptist grew up and he knew that he would be the forerunner for the Messiah. He knew the call that had been put on his life. His mother, Elizabeth, knew the call that was on his life. And so he then, when led by the Holy Spirit, began the ministry. And he began calling attention to the coming Messiah. And so he's in the wilderness. He didn't do it in the temple. He didn't do it where most Jews would be. He set up outside the community and he just started preaching. Now, when preachers just take it upon themselves to preach, I come from St. Louis and there were oftentimes were guys standing on a street corner preaching and folks would stop. They could draw a crowd for a bit. And so John the Baptist, I think, did that. Now, he was out there and maybe began conversations with a few folks. He may have gone Hope on the Beach style. He may have had a prayer tent. We don't know. But he got started, and suddenly folks wanted to hear him. They started hearing about him, and his reputation began to spread in the community because it was different. And so folks began to be curious. They started hearing about this guy, and we're going to see in a minute how weird he really was. But they began to hear about this guy, and so they wanted to go out there and hear him. And so, point number one, John's appearance was a declaration. It was a defining moment in, can we use the word church history? It was definitely a defining moment in our personal faith because he began to declare something brand new. Jews had always been drawn to the temple. They had always been told what to do. They had sacrificial laws they followed. They bought lambs, they bought calves, they bought all kinds of animals without blemish, doves. They, even in the Old Testament, had the practice of putting all the sins of the community on the back of a goat, and they sent the goat out into the wilderness, the scapegoat. And so we find that they're coming from that history out to the wilderness where John is declaring something entirely different. All of a sudden, what's the Bible tells us there in chapter 4, in verse 4? He's preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sin. So he was declaring a new direction. He was declaring a new relationship. Point A, faith was now about grace and no longer about law. John was not preaching about obedience to the Old Testament law. He was no longer preaching about being obedient to commandments, to making sacrifices for sin. He's preaching a repentance, a turn from sin, a declaring my sin. He was calling folks to recognize sin. God was calling people to His grace. And this new beginning then was no longer about the law, but it became about grace. In fact, point B, salvation was now personal. Prior, it had been corporate. Prior, it was about doing what the church tells me to do, doing it as a part of the church, being up to date in my temple practices. And all of a sudden, John comes talking about repenting. It's personal. You've got to repent and receive the forgiveness. God is calling you. God is offering you grace. And we need to be clear that this grace comes from God. We do nothing to get it. We don't earn it. We don't deserve it. And John started declaring that. He started preaching in this direction. And he was calling people to a new relationship. And look at verse 5. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. The whole town wants to see this. I heard a dear black pastor one time say, he told me, he said, you know, Steve, if you get a preacher on fire, folks will leave town to watch him burn. Yeah. Revival does that, doesn't it? Draws people. Movement. We see that here at Hope. Folks are drawn. I had a guy I just talked to today, Shunk, and I said, so where did you come over from? And he said, well, I'm partly in Louisiana and I'm partly at Grayton Beach. But in Grayton Beach, we have a neighbor who had discovered Hope, told us about it, and here we are. And I smiled and I said, sounds familiar. We hear that story a lot. I myself discovered Hope on the beach at an 8 o'clock service that I didn't want to go to. I was on vacation. Who goes to church at 8 o'clock on vacation? Only 500,000. That's all I can tell you. They just keep coming. But when God starts moving, people are drawn to Him, aren't they? And this town was drawn to what they were hearing John saying. But they came out asking a question. The town wanted to know, point two, they came out asking, who are you? They see this guy and they hear him and the message resonates. God's Spirit speaks to those hearts and they begin to be drawn to what they're hearing. But it's new. They don't understand who this guy is. Where did he come from? But point A says in number 2A, they responded immediately to the good news. They did, didn't he? He just starts preaching repentance, forgiveness, and they start following, professing, and baptized. It's a terrific scene of people being drawn to the good news. Point B, their hearts, you may have heard this before, were awakened to Jesus. Familiar with that one? It's our mission, right? To awaken hearts in people to Jesus every day. I put too many words in there, but I'll get it. The mission is what it is. We're busy awakening Jesus in the hearts of people. And we can do it anytime, anywhere, in a lot of ways. And that's what was happening to these people. Their hearts were awakening. It wasn't anymore about trusting a corporate process, but instead, it was about me entering this relationship. My heart was waking up to Jesus. Look at 6 through 8. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. We're putting that on the menu for breakfast at the beach. And this was his message. After me comes the one more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he'll baptize you with the Holy Spirit. John knew his place. John knew he was the forerunner. John knew he was here to declare a new direction. John was here to propose for the first time that we move from religion to relationship. That we move from counting on a corporate process to making it personal. And salvation now was personal. So here's John the Baptist. He's wearing the first known camel hair suit. He's wearing a camel hair suit. He eats his grasshoppers and honey. And these folks are coming out by the droves. Now, there's not worship here. This isn't Hope on the Beach yet. It's not worship here. This is just John preaching. He doesn't add the Gaithers until much later in his ministry. Thank you, Roberto. You're very kind. You're very kind. I thought the Gaithers would be funnier. It just didn't work. Don't worry, the Beach missed it completely. So this is just John in the wilderness. This is just a guy in a camel suit and eating locusts, preaching a new message. But he also, point three, was an example of humility. He made it very clear. I'm not the guy. You would imagine with this preaching and with this experience and this reception it would be easy to think this must be the Messiah. We were promised a Messiah. And John wanted to be clear, it's not me. It's not me. He's coming after me. In fact, he came quicker than even John knew, but he's coming after me. And I'm not even worthy to untie his sandal. Many of the wealthy had servants who would untie their sandals when they came in the house, or they certainly would untie sandals for their guests, and then they would wash their feet. What John is saying is, I'm not even worthy to be a servant. It's not me. Don't hook on me. He was a perfect example of humility. Why? Because that's how we come before God. As God calls us and draws us, we respond in humility. We accept what God offers us, what God brings us. We begin a relationship with Jesus in humility. And he was an example. And then he called them to a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Point four, John's baptism was a symbolic outward cleansing. Corinthians tells us that we are buried with Christ through baptism and raised to a new life. Baptism is a beautiful picture of what God does on the inside of our life. What he does in our heart. It's a beautiful picture of dying to our sins, crucifying ourselves, and then being raised to walk new. What a picture. What a picture. And John is performing this baptism in the wilderness as the people are called to repentance and forgiveness. They are drawn to this baptism. They're identifying with the way, the movement. And in fact, point five, his cleansing was inward through the Holy Spirit. We have an outward picture of an inward experience. Jesus changes us from the inside out. Through the years, many folks have had a conversation with me where they were a little stupefied before because they had old habits in their life that were beginning to die. They didn't want to do the same social things. They found that their talk wasn't the same. And they said, I don't get it. What's happening? And the answer was always the same. Jesus is changing you on the inside. From the inside out. Jesus is making a difference in your life. And in fact, John then asked the town, as he calls them to this baptism, he's asking, number A, letter A under point five, John asked the town, who are you? Who are you? Are you still the old religious practitioner? You still counting on the priests? Or are you repenting and confessing and coming to salvation through God-given faith? Who are you? We have to decide that, don't we? Because it is now a personal thing. We have to decide. We have to ask ourselves. In fact, as John's baptizing, verses 9 through 11 says, at that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Jesus came to be baptized. And just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love, and with you I am well pleased." Jesus is baptized. Now, here's a challenge. Some are hesitant to follow the Lord in baptism. But I would say to you, if Jesus was baptized, shouldn't we be? Shouldn't we follow the Lord's example? And shouldn't we follow that all-important step? Shouldn't we respond to Christ as God calls us and as our faith grows? Do you really think the first act we should commit is disobedience and skip baptism? No. We need to follow the Lord total in obedience. So the question we finish with is number 6. We started here, we finish here. Who are you? You see, there are too many who have missed faith in their walk. They're trying to do Jesus things in the flesh. We can't do them in the flesh. They're like somebody hitting a home run and they forget to tag first base. You're going to be out. You don't get to skip first base. We need to examine our hearts this morning and be sure that this faith we have is a personal response to what God is offering to us. It's not a connection to a church. It's not doing the right things or looking religious. It's about a walk with our personal Savior and Lord. Are you there? Who are you this morning? Because our memory verse reminds us of this. Let's read it together. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. It is a gift. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your goodness, for your grace, for the mercy you extend to us. We thank you for your call upon our life, for your coming to claim us as your own. And we pray, Lord, that we might receive your gift, that our arms and hearts might open wide, and that we recognize what you're doing in our life. And we thank you for it. We praise you for it. And we come before you once again to acknowledge it and celebrate it. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's pray as we have been taught. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you, Steve. In our worship folder, we have an opportunity to respond to that great gift of God's grace in our life. All of it in our life is a gift from Him by His abundant grace. And so we have a chance to respond and to say thanks with our praises, but also with our offerings. So in your worship folder is that connection card, that offering envelope, or you can go online or use the text to give as our way to say, God, we thank you for the grace that you have given us. We acknowledge this is a gift, and not by our work, but your work for us, through your Son, Jesus Christ, and that we give you thanks for all. Also, in your worship folder is that connection card. If you turn to the back side, you get to share what you're celebrating today. Also, you notice that, we're doing these large life groups. Large life groups means we just meet like this. We're going to probably meet in the bistro unless we have more people. But, it might be a group like this where we meet up here, and then we're going to have a meal together, and then we'll just do some dialoguing as a large group, but also in small groups and large groups together. And we're going to be asking these questions, the hard sayings of Jesus. Jesus says some things that are pretty confusing, pretty hard, like, let the dead bury the dead. That's really warm and comforting Jesus that I heard in Sunday school. I don't know about you. And so we're going to answer some of these questions and wrestle with it, lean in it together. And so for us to do this as a family and do it well and care for one another, there is a sign up. We gave you June. We're doing June and July minus the first week in July. So we'll ask if you're going to be there for dinner or not. And then the other thing we're going to ask is that since we're a family, that we all help out as a family. That means help out, clean up, or help out and cook. Serena has helped to coordinate and lead, but Serena is not the head chef and bottle washer yet. No, it's good. No, it's not for all her to do that. So we should do that together. So please sign up on the sheet. We're not asking you to do it every single time, but please make your commitments as you can, as best you can. We realize last-minute things come up, whether you can join or not, and we love to have you there, though. So take advantage of it. It'll be a great time for us to connect this summer and go deeper. I don't think that's the major things today. So as we continue our worship, we invite you to bring your connection cards, your offerings forward, and put them on the plates as we continue to worship together.
Some melodious song, sung by flaming
Sing your praise, the highest praise.